Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
Sanbonani, I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, as usual, Lionel Makokotlela. Welcome, Lionel.
Welcome, Gary. Good to see you. I hope you're feeling much better, and good afternoon to our listeners.
Yeah, good. We also have Muntu in studio with us today. He's on controls. Welcome, Muntu.
Thanks, Gary.
Good. Now, last week I was away from the office, and I asked my candidate attorney, Saul Smith, to prepare a show for today. What I was expecting, which is what one would expect from their candidate attorney, who's an extremely good lawyer, I must just tell you, was something quite serious, something more on the law side, possibly something about Oscar Pistorius and the concept of dumbass eventualis that eventually brought Oscar to his knees. But instead, what we have in studio today is a colorful bunch of characters from the various segments of what they like to call the geek community.
I tell you, it's my first time actually seeing geeks or meeting them in real life, but I must say they've got swag.
They don't bite, eh, Lionel?
No, they don't. No. And they don't really intimidate, very intellectual.
Well, wait, you'll may have a different impression after the show. First, let's introduce them. Grant Charlton, founder of Icon Games and Comics Convention, an avid role player and LARPer. And we'll get into what all that means a little later. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Also, we also have Richard Harmon, and together with Kasia Jabremski, have I got the pronunciation right? They are the founders of Geek Fest and the owner of the Dark Carnival. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Nice to have you. Yeah. Also with us is Peter van Dijk, the chairman of 3 Plus Gaming Club Johannesburg, and longtime tabletop board gamer. Welcome to you.
Hi, everyone.
Good. And then lastly is Greg Walker of Warzone Gaming Club. Hashtag Greg Paint Something.
Oh, wow. You guys did that on air. Thanks.
Yeah, as Saul said, we're going to have a laugh at your expense. Anyway, it's if you want to get through to our geeks, are they geeks or nerds? We'll find that out very
What's
soon.
What's the difference between the geek and nerds?
We'll find that out.
Oh,
as well.
Definitely. Okay. But however, if you really want to touch base with us, you can get you can touch base on 0861-555-189, or at Hertz Law.
Yeah, good. That's please our Twitter spelling. Handle. Yeah, Hertzlaw. Also, our Facebook page. Please have a look at it. We're going to put all kinds of stuff up from today's show on Facebook. It's The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg, G-A-R-R-Y, Hertzberg, H-E-R-T-Z-B-R-G. If you're interested in this topic, and you will be, please check out what delicious stuff we'll have on our Facebook page. Are they geeks or nerds? Let's find out.
What do you think you're doing, nerd?
Did you just call me a nerd? Geek?
Yeah, nerd.
Yes, I am a nerd, bookworm. I'm studious, from my cerebral cortex to my gluteus. Back in kindergarten, I ace my college entrance exam. Now, I'm no rocket scientist, but wait, I am. When I pour my alphabets, I get nothing but straight A's. My retainer and headgear connect to a back brace. I got a pocket protector, protector, protector. I broke my glasses on purpose so I can tape them together. We're back to Reddit, and type stuff no one will see. You're a geek, that means you're just a hipster wannabe. That's right, I'm a geek, I've got brains and personality. I wear my glasses sincerely.
Geeks versus nerds, Sawley. We'll soon find out what they are.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very
much.
Okay,
over to you, Saul. I'm going to be in studio, but you're going to run the show. It's your show. You devised it. If it goes wrong, it's all your fault. If we get a massive falling, which I'm sure we will be, it's thanks to me.
I'm going to lose my job after this.
Enjoy.
So, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Lionel. Thanks for that introduction. I guess the best place to start is to kind of explain to everyone who's listening is what is the definition of a geek? In my mind, it's a person who's obsessed with some sort of popular culture icon or activity. Does anyone have anything they want to add onto that? Or
I mean, it's usually something that's quite niche, Saul. Whereas a nerd is more studious, it's more academic focused. A geek is someone who's more interested in, if you want to put it like this, a hobby, or like a very niche activity or a niche kind of fandom. Like you could be an anime geek, you could be a comic geek, you could be a tabletop wargaming geek, and there are many of us, you know, around really. And you go day to day, and you don't really see them, but when they're in the element and when they're
you
with
just
their
don't
friends,
notice them.
Yeah, that's exactly it, and you know, we
they
live
lurk
among you.
Among us.
So yeah, that's for me. That's basically the difference.
Yeah, I've been asked this question a lot, and I usually say nerds are clever. So yes, the nerds are more academically inclined. Geeks are anyone that has a passion for anything. You know, we have friends that are horse riding geeks. You know, they love horses. We have friends that are, you know, car geeks or music geeks. You know, petrol heads are geeks. So anyone with a passion for a certain thing is a geek.
So that's a very broad definition. Today we're not really going to be talking about horse riding geeks and mechanic geeks.
What am I doing here then?
Sorry, Greg. I just invited you because I like your hair.
Oh, thanks, Saul.
No probs. I'm talking more about the geek that has an odd hobby or is obsessed with something like Game of Thrones and likes to dress up as Robb Stark and run around with a sword and, you know, wear fur and pretend to be a knight or pretend to be the general or pretends to be a wizard battling another wizard with a set of magic spells which are printed on cards, and they kind of just show them to each other, and it's a little less exciting than it sounds.
These are geek subcultures.
Right. So the subculture we're talking about today is what?
Well, it depends. We're going to
go gaming geeks.
We're going to be going into the cosplaying, the tabletop playing geeks, the LARPing geeks.
All right, so basically gaming geeks, but gaming not in the sense that they go to casinos or go hunt animals in the bush. We're talking about role players, tabletop gamers, board gamers, and card gamers.
Yeah, it's really anything that was around before the computer gamers. I mean, you can be a computer game geek, definitely, that's a thing. But this is kind of the precursor to all of that. This is still the social aspect still intact. I mean, you go out with mates, you get a beer, and you play some D&D, or you play some cards, or you get a tabletop with figures on.
Great, thanks, Greg. Well, really, where I want to start, recently, two or three weeks ago, in South Africa, in Johannesburg, in Midrand, at Gallagher Estate, there was a convention. This convention is known as ICON, the Games and Comic Convention. It's arguably the biggest geek convention in South Africa.
And yeah, no, I think it's definitely the biggest geek gaming convention in South Africa.
Tell me something, Grant. Hashtag ICON 2016. This year trended how high?
Well, it beat Brexit.
That's quite a thing.
I don't have the stats. My partner Liz has all those stats.
But it was huge. Yeah. Let's call it huge. Yeah. Well, Grant, you started ICON.
Not actually. It was started by my former business partner and a bunch of his friends, Martin Frayne.
Okay.
In 1992. I went to a very small little recreation center called Patterson Park, and probably had about 120, maybe 130 people wander through the door. This year, we were just over 4,000.
4,000?
Yeah.
Over the whole weekend? Or?
Yeah.
Well, that's some, quite a
job. That was unique people. That wasn't people who came back every day.
Well, I was there for 3 days.
A lot of the people were. Probably about 500 or 600 of them were.
Good. I mean, that's quite a lot of growth.
Well, it's been 24 years, and geekdom and gaming has grown a lot in those last 24 years. Just the tabletop, the card gaming, the board gaming, that has grown phenomenally over the last 5 or 6 years. And we outgrew our little recreation center, the Jabula, and we had to go somewhere bigger. And Gallagher it was this year. And we're already planning for 2017 at Gallagher, our 25th anniversary.
So what happened at ICON this year? What were the events? What could someone do at ICON?
Oh, I don't know if you've got time for all of that. well, we had, for the first time, we're trying to aim ICON somewhere between San Diego Comic-Con and Gen Con. So we're going to keep our gaming origins, because that's what ICON's about, is about playing games and learning how to play games. And we're also doing panels and more pop culture stuff. So this year we did all the traditional tabletop gaming, the 40K, we did Malifax, we did X-Wing, which is a new one. We did a lot of card gaming, Magic, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh! We even had a Hearthstone tournament that people probably didn't even notice. We then did our role playing, which is the basis of ICON, that where it started. And we ran HeroClix, we ran Dice Masters. We then had a bigger cosplay competition than normal that was streamed. That's one of the best things. We had always on sponsoring us. So we had Wi-Fi for everybody, and all our panels were streamed for the first time ever.
Oh, what panels did you have this year?
Well, we had Raymond Feist as our first international guest, and he did about three panels. I know there was one on world building. We had Rico from Adam and Eve do a couple of panels, and there was a list. We had probably about 20 or so panelists. We even had a breakdown of E3 for the computer gamers that Papa Shabalala hosted.
Oh, a home for everyone, huh?
Yep.
Great. And next year, any big plans at this point, or are you sort of just recovering?
You'll have to wait and see. There are plans in the process already.
All right.
Can I just jump in? Sorry.
Absolutely. So
I see you've got a shirt there. It says free comic. Let me have a look at this. Move to the side
free
a little.
Comic book
free
day.
Comic book day. What is that?
That's a day when all the comic book retailers in the world get to buy comics from their distributors and hand them out to the customers for free. It's the first Saturday in May. So it's already passed for this year.
Okay.
But the first Saturday in May next year, you can go to any comic dealer in the country, and you'll probably be able to get a free comic or two.
So would I be jumping? I'm sorry if I'm stealing your questions, but don't they have a big convention in the USA on this, in Vegas or somewhere on the free?
They have about 20.
Oh, really?
The biggest one's coming up next week, which is San Diego.
How many people do they expect there?
I think this year they're expecting about 140,000.
140,000? Is that, sir?
Jeez.
Just on comics?
Basically, it's a pop culture show. So,
forgive my ignorance. It's Gary Hertzberg speaking. I don't know too much about it. I know from Richie Rich and all that kind of stuff. Is that still...
Well, Richie Rich, they have stopped publishing. Archie's still going.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It goes back to the 30s, 40s.
Archie's went back to, I think, the late 50s.
Okay. Going back those years, give us some of the names.
Well, if you want to go back to the... Yeah. Late 30s, we're talking Superman and Batman.
Okay.
All the Marvel heroes only arose in the 60s. That's the Spider-Man's, the
Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America, yeah.
Just on a price, from a price point of view, Saul, am I stealing your question?
No, go ahead.
What is the price of a comic
last Superman that they sold, which was in very good condition, I think went for $3.5 million.
Oh, you are kidding me.
That was Superman 1. Mm.
That's Superman 1 from 1939, yeah.
But if you want to buy a new comic book today that was published last month, you're looking at around 120, 140 bucks?
No, you're looking probably around about 45 to 50
for the
average one. Mm. About $3.
Mm. Oh. Well, that's if you read Superman. But if you want sort of...
If you want something a little bit more intellectually stimulating, you will pay a little bit more.
Grant, if we talk of the father of all this, is it the USA? Is that where all this emanates from?
Well, strangely enough, the French were the first people to actually really have storytelling panels. But the bulk of the comics that are produced these days are from the States. I get a shipment in every week from the States.
Okay.
Good. Last year, I actually attended the Boston Comic Con. Which was about this time last year. And I got to be honest, a lot of comic books, a lot of people signing comic books, and a lot of people selling prints, and not much else. I think ICON's got it.
Well, we like the gaming aspect as well.
Yeah. And on that note, we have a different kind of festival that runs in South Africa called the Geek Fest, which was founded by Richard and Kasia. Richard, you're the driver of GeekFest, or is your PA the driver of GeekFest?
I'm one of the drivers of GeekFest. Thanks for having us all.
It's a pleasure.
GeekFest was actually the brainchild of Kasia. She's the big geek in the relationship. She came up with the idea a few years ago, and we decided let's give it a shot. Let's try something different. Let's bring geek to the masses in a fun outdoor family environment type of way. So 2013 GeekFest was born, and we've just gone from strength to strength.
Oh, 2012. So this was your fifth GeekFest this year?
Fourth. This was our fourth one, yeah.
And where was it this year?
This year we held it at the Ananda Country Base in Kailami. Okay. We have changed venues every year. We've just struggled to kind of find
a real home.
But it looks like we may have found our home for the foreseeable future.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
Very good news. Richard or Kasia, whoever wants to jump in on this, how is GeekFest different to Icon?
I'll give you my version, and I'll let Kasia talk. So GeekFest is, as I mentioned, an outdoor event. So outdoor being something that we aim it at the local crafters, local comic book stores, local food vendors, craft food, craft beer, and we just open it up to everybody. This year we had about 180 stalls at the venue, running over the 2 days, and it's just a nice big family fun day out.
I'd like to go to that one. When is it this year? Was it to be?
Already passed. It was actually the weekend of Free Comic Book Day and Mother's Day.
Okay.
First weekend of May. We will be moving it a little bit earlier, I think a week earlier next year, around about the same time. But yeah, it's a family day out. It's not aimed specifically at any community of geeks. It's aimed at everybody and their families. We want to introduce geek culture and subcultures to as many people in South Africa as possible. We don't want people to listen to the stupid stereotypes on TV shows where they portray geeks as these people that are living in their, you know, parents' basements playing games and getting no sun. This is not the case. We are awesome people.
Yes, so we can come to your function next year 100%. And play in the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And drink beer.
Most of the geeks remember their sunblock.
Yeah. And drink beer, as you said.
Yeah, we have some bands, we have some music, we have some comedy. So, you know, dad can chill in the beer garden, mom can go shopping, the kids can play, you know.
That is so sexist. I think this year I saw a woman in full battle gear. Full plate mail, I think.
Yeah,
the
medieval martial artists, they are amazing. These guys dress up in proper armor and mud each other.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a big deal overseas. It's a huge big deal. They have tournaments where people come from all over the world and more each other. And it's not like the safest thing. People like break things and lose fingers.
Yeah, I think this one's for Lionel. Lionel, you want to go to this one next year?
Oh yeah, I want to give it a try and just to be
experience it.
Yeah, just to be in the company of geeks. Yeah, maybe I could be a geek myself.
Get rid of some frustration.
Oh, certainly. And yeah, I just wanted to find out, do we categorize Bill Gates as a geek or as a nerd?
No, he's definitely a nerd. He's definitely a nerd.
Most geeks are broke because they spend all their money on their hobby.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Okay. I think there's
how much money have you spent, Grant, when you say that? I mean, are we talking, is this like
substantial
amounts? Well, put it this way, I've been broke for the last 20 years. I used to be a chartered accountant.
Really?
Yeah. And now I run a comic shop. So, put it this way, I have about 3,500 books in my bedroom because I'm also a science fiction fantasy geek. Not to mention, I don't know how many thousand comics in the back room.
How many books do you read a week?
I average about 5 or 6 a month.
Okay, that's good. We're running a show next week, Saul, on reading.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that people don't read today, so we want to raise awareness on that.
I think this panel reads.
Yeah,
geeks are big readers.
Generally,
so long as there's pictures.
No, some of them read rather thick rule books.
Mm. I think on the cost of being a geek, I think Greg could probably jump in on that. How much do you spend on your hobbies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, I got into this in the first year of high school, so, you know, that's grade eight. And it's been well over a decade now, and many thousands and thousands of rands later. Still happy, still playing it, still coming, seeing the same faces, a lot of new ones, and that. It has grown quite a bit. But yeah, on a Wednesday night or on a Saturday morning, all of them get together, and yeah, people spend, you wouldn't believe the amount of money that people spend on figures. I mean, granted, we're talking about like 3D printing, injection molding, some of like the most intricate technology that's out there today, and it's being used to print these figures. So I mean, it's not like you're paying for secondhand rubbish that, you know, is just kind of being, you know, injection molded into poor things. This is actual art. People design these things on 3D programs.
Can I pause you there? Can you give me an estimate of how much of your salary do you spend on being a geek every month?
I've actually got it budgeted about $1,000. Yeah. So, you know, take that over.
Grand out of 100,000 is not a lot, is it?
You know, over the years, it makes it affordable, if you want to look at it that way.
No, marvelous. There's a saying that goes, introduce your kids to geek culture and they'll never have enough money for drugs.
Yeah. You can only feasibly support one addiction at a time.
Mm. No, that's a very good quote. I wish people would do more of that.
Well, yeah. It's preferable. I think rather play games than get involved in something that you actually can't afford.
I have a lot of parents bringing the kids into my shop just for that reason.
Really?
Well, also to get them off the computer occasionally.
Yeah. Well, that's why this kind of geek is slightly superior to the computer geek.
How many different kinds of comics are there that you hold?
I probably bring in about 300 different titles a month, which is probably 10% of what's out there.
And are some of these old comics, or are they all new comics?
I get a shipment from the States every week. We have our comics on a Wednesday, which is the same day as Americans release their comics. Then I do buy older comics if I ever get my hands on them.
Now, are people wanting older comics? What is desired out there?
It's mainly the new comics.
The new comics.
They want to read the new stories, see the new art. The older comics are more for the collectors or nostalgia value, and often the price is too high.
Is there value if you have a big set of whatever? Is there value in that? Is it like collecting art, something like that?
You keep it for long enough, everything's worth something.
Well, is this worth something?
As I said, if you keep it for long enough.
Oh, okay. So if it's worth 50 years, if it's 50 years old, it could be worth something.
It could be.
Well, just like anything, you know, if the first pressing of a single story arc may be worth something.
Sure.
Just depends what it is. Some of it might just be garbage. I'd like to move on to what kind of games that we play in our community. Peter, you're a long-time tabletop gamer.
Hi, Saul. Yeah, I am indeed. In fact, I run quite a large gaming community based in Joburg. We are called the 3+ Wargaming Club, and we play pretty much everything from board games to tabletop games, as you say.
So when you say board games, that's not Monopoly?
No, certainly not the sort of thing that your parents would have forced down your throat on a Sunday afternoon. Monopoly, Scrabble, all of those things are very much old school. These days, there's a real renaissance going on in board gaming, where link it to pretty much any popular culture icon that you can think of. There's probably a board game for it. Care to try to take over Westeros and sit on the Iron Throne? You can play the Game of Thrones board game. You can run your own space civilization against your opponents and, well, friends and or enemies. And there's a game for that. There's many games for that. It really is as much as you can imagine. There's probably a board game for it.
This year, sorry to bring it back to Icon again, but this year there were two specific board game tournaments. One was called Ticket to Ride, and the other one was Settlers of Catan. Does anyone do you know what the prize was for winning the Ticket to Ride tournament?
The Ticket to Ride tournament this year just had board game prizes. But the Settlers of Catan tournament, the winner gets to fly to Colorado to actually partake in Worlds.
I beg your pardon?
I said, the winner of the Catan tournament gets to fly to Colorado and partake in the World tournament.
So you paid to fly someone to Colorado?
Yeah. Well, Icon didn't. That was our sponsors, Solar Pop.
That's a hell of a prize.
Yep.
That's a hell of a prize to play a board game.
Yep.
Imagine playing Monopoly, getting flown to Colorado. Sounds like a plan. Sorry, back to Peter. You mentioned tabletop war games.
Indeed, so.
And what's that?
Tabletop wargaming is, I suppose you could probably best define it as chess to the nth degree. Everybody would get a number of figures that they would purchase, assemble, and probably paint themselves. They could be anything from space aliens to elves and dwarves, and the games could be focused on anything from World War II to, as I say, a fantasy situation similar to Lord of the Rings. They could be focused on a science fiction setting similar to Starship Troopers, where the hobby itself is based around the assembly and painting of the models under the narrative that the player chooses. And then there's a strategy involved in playing with those figures against an opponent.
Okay. Well, personally, I play a system called Kings of War. Mm. This is now an absolute obsession, where I've painted upwards of 200 tiny, tiny little goblins. And it takes forever. But when it's done, it looks fantastic. And I put these guys all on the table just so that I can take them off again when someone kills me. The point of the game, as you said, it's a lot like chess, except a little bit with a bit of an upgrade, where each model has its own sort of abilities, and you kind of move them around, and it's turn based. And then the next person goes, he moves his models around, and you move your models around, and eventually, someone wins. So a lot like chess.
Indeed, so. In that sort of situation, there are very well-defined rule sets for each of the different types of game that you'd be introduced to. There's Warhammer 40K, which is a science fiction version. There's, as you say, Kings of War, which is more a fantasy version, similar to Lord of the Rings. There is a million and one different types of game.
A particular one called X-Wing. I see Greg really wants to talk about X-Wing. This is
right, yes, Saul. It's a fairly new game. It's only been around for a couple of years, as opposed to things like Warhammer that have been around for the last 20. And X-Wing is a particularly genius stroke of marketing, I think, because, for several reasons. You know, as you said, these figures come unpainted and they come, you know, pressed in these molds and that, and you have to build them and paint them yourself, and there's a lot of admin that goes into that, and that can be quite an enjoyable part of the hobby, but you know, it's not very new user friendly, if you want to put it like that. So the difference with X-Wing, which is it's a dogfighting game essentially, and you play with these little replicas of Star Wars ships on a starfield, and there are little asteroids everywhere and that, and it's quite engaging. But the difference is that you can play this game straight out of the box. You can pick it up. The miniatures are pre-built, pre-painted. They come with all the tokens, all the dice, everything that you need in the core set, really. And then, you know, a second thing about this as well is that it's Star Wars, which is arguably the most valuable IP in the world today. I mean, The Force Awakens became the highest grossing movie of all time last year in just 20 days. 20 days. Can you handle that? I mean, it beat out James Cameron's Avatar by a mile. And then there's a third and a fourth point to this, too, and that's it's a lot cheaper than your average tabletop war game.
Let's not get into that. I actually don't believe that. Once you start buying one ship, you have to buy another ship, and then there's another ship, eventually...
But consider this. It's easily digestible, right? It's $200 a ship, and you need three to play, basically. So what you're saying is absolutely correct, and yes, it is a trap. But, you know, you can also pick these up at Take-A-Lot, Look and Listen, most comic stores. So think about that from a marketing point of view.
That's fantastic. Greg, where would you play this?
If
you don't have any like-minded friends and you've got this set, what do you do with it?
Well, there are a couple of clubs around South Africa and around Gauteng and Cape Town in general as well. We belong to the Warzone Club, which is at JP Quandam. As Pete says, there's 3+ as well in Joburg. There's a couple of others like D20 in the south, but
and most of the retailers actually run their own games as well every now and again.
So you can actually play at Outer Limits too.
At Outer Limits, normally once every second month, as everybody takes their turn.
Is that X-Wing specifically, or is it
X-Wing specifically? We run various other games as well.
Okay. Okay, Warzone, obviously, multiple game systems.
Yeah, multiple game systems. And I mean, this place has been running in one venue or another for the past, about 15 years now or so, maybe even 20. I started out in Edenvale as this little comic shop. It doesn't stock anything of its own anymore. It's more just a community of gamers now. But, we belong to JP Quandam as actual members of the club. They generously describe us as a sport. And
it's very generous.
It is very generous, yeah. You know, about the only muscle you're working is your brain and your beer hand.
Do you guys dress up? Do you have a uniform or anything like that?
No, we just sport? We don't. I look like this all the time.
Ah, okay. Just checking.
So, yeah, that's Warzone for you. And if you're interested in finding us, we're Warzone at Jeppy on Facebook. We don't have a Twitter account, but, I mean, the Facebook page, we get a lot of interest generated from there. A lot of messages come through, and that's the way a lot of our new members find us, as well as some of the cricketers and rugby boys and that, people that get curious and just kind of approach us. Most of them walk away looking confused.
And 3+, how would we get hold of you?
Saul, 3+ is also available on the Facebook lines. You can simply look up 3+ Wargaming Club.
Is that
and you'll find our group.
3+ or 3?
The words 3 and plus. No space, and there you go.
Great.
Saul, yeah, as Greg so eloquently puts, it's a game where everybody gets to go out and pretend to be something that ignites their imagination. I mean, who wouldn't want to fly one of those TIE fighters screaming across the screen and shooting down the evil rebels, or the other way around, depending on your point of view?
Oh, and on that note, pretending to be someone who you're not, that introduces a whole new kind of game, which is called role-playing. Now, we're not talking about role-playing in the bedroom. We're not dressing up as a policeman. That's not it. It's something quite different. And I believe Grant is a live-action role-player.
Yes, well, role-playing basically takes two forms. You can have the tabletop role-playing, which you call pen and paper role-playing, which is Dungeons and Dragons or Call of Cthulhu if you're a horror person. And then the live-action role-playing, where you actually get dressed up as your character, go away for an adventure day or for a weekend, and you play the character for the whole weekend. There are two different groups in South Africa that are running the ongoing LARPs at the moment. The one is Mead, MEAD, and the other is Tiana, TEANA. You can look both of those up. They both have websites and Facebook pages.
Is that quite easy to get into?
It's quite easy to get into. You have to be over 18 for legal and liability reasons. As lawyers, you'll know all about that. And then you find yourself a pool noodle sword or a latex sword if you have lots of money, and you come and whack on your friends and enemies.
That sounds really dirty. So you just pitch up with your armor and off you go.
Well, basically you have to roll up character or create a character. So you'll find a race that you want to play, a type of character you want to play. I play a paladin. Well, a templar, actually. So I can actually throw spells and hit people with the sword. I'm getting too old to really run around and chase the 20-somethings. So I just throw spell packets at them.
Okay.
We're going to take a picture of you, Grant. We're going to tweet it out. and it's going to be on.
If they look on my Facebook page, there's plenty of pictures of me.
Makes sense. Yeah. Okay, your Facebook page. While we have it, what's it under your name?
It's under Grant Charlton. Yes.
Yeah.
Charlton. Yeah.
Grant Charlton. Have a look at it. It's only just one thing. I think Benji behind the screens wants to say something. Benji. Yeah. I don't think we're picking you up, Benji.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hey. Thank you. Okay, so speaking about the hashtag Icon2016, we got a tweet from the official Icon convention, and they tweeted out hashtag Icon2016 trended 13th overall in South Africa during Icon and out-trended hashtag Brexit for 1 hour during Friday the 24th. So that's going back to the hashtag Icon2016.
Good stuff. Thanks, Liz.
Good stuff. Thank you. Oh, nice, nice, yeah. Very nice.
What about if people listening in, we've got listeners in PE, Cape Town, Durban, internationally, in fact. What's out there for those people?
Well, Cape Town, I know that Cape Town has a few tabletop clubs. They're called the Durbanville Dragons, the Battle Bunker. They do have a Facebook presence.
There's also a small convention at UCT coming up called Dragonfire. Dragonfire's actually been running longer than Icon by about 3 or 4 years, and that's over Women's Day weekend. They do have a Facebook page, Dragonfire, if you...
Excellent.
Yeah.
And in Durban, they have Icon by the Sea.
Hmm. Yeah, we took ourselves down to the sea and been running a small convention down there too. Well attended for the first couple of years.
It also must be mentioned that there is a new expo, computer gaming expo, called the Electronic and Games Expo, that's being held every year in Cape Town. Also similar to the Rage Expo, where they're hosting some tabletop games. They do cosplay as well, which I think we're going to be discussing soon. And we as the Dark Carnival are going to be down there as well at the end of the month.
Okay. Cosplay is an easy extension of the LARPing, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. Cosplay is something all of its own.
So a cosplayer will dress up as something?
Yeah. Well, cosplay basically comes from costume play.
Right.
So anybody that gets dressed up as a costume, in a costume, becomes a cosplayer. But the basis of cosplay normally comes from people dressing up as their favorite anime characters.
Ah.
And now it's started to take over. They dress up as their favorite computer game characters.
Yeah, these guys are artists because most of them make their own costumes. They are absolutely amazing, the things that they come up with. So I have a great respect for them. They are a bit of a crazy bunch, but really, well, yeah, being a geek, we're all a bit off the wall. But, they're amazing.
They just wear their crazy on the outside.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about the cosplay turnout at GeekFest this past year.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Who did you have?
Who did we have? Wow, it went by a blow. Well, just to give an idea of the entrance that we had into the cosplay competition, we had over 60 entrants this year, which was 60 people who individuals made their own costumes from scratch, literally came up with a concept, built it out of foam and dressed up. So we had guys, I think there was a guy who made his own furry outfit, so he was a funny fur character thing.
It was a fox.
There was a guy who did something with BB-8. He actually won one of the competitions.
BB-8, the robot from the new Star Wars.
Yes,
for those of playing the home game.
Yes, that little ball.
There was a person dressed as Slimer.
Slimer from He-Man.
No, there was no Slimer and He-Man.
Slimer from Ghostbusters.
Yes.
Which Ghostbusters? The original Ghostbusters
or
the other one?
The original one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, don't tell me you're against the new one.
No, not at all.
Yeah, damn straight. I'm the only woman here, guys, so you know.
Ghostbusters on any level is good. Cosplay is not really about a game. It's just about becoming another person for a couple of days. Do they play in character or do they just sort of...
Sometimes they do what's called a skit, when they get on the stage and they will be that character for 2 minutes for the competition. It works towards the points for the judging.
Okay, so how did you get many Game of Thrones cosplayers this year?
There were a couple. I think there was one guy who dressed up as Robb Stark, if I'm not mistaken. Just various things.
For me, that's not the obvious one. I mean, surely you'd want to be the Mother of Dragons.
There was actually one or two dressed as Khaleesi. There was.
Oh, okay, that's the way forward then. Okay.
Forgive my ignorance, Saul, but has Game of Thrones opened this up more to the public? Has this improved the geeks?
I think it's one of the facets. I think they were getting introduced to it by Big Bang Theory. They were finding out about a lot of our little subcultures through that show. You know, I've had conversations with people and they're like, oh, like on Big Bang. And I'm like, yeah.
Sort of. Does anyone know if that game that they play on Big Bang Theory, they sit around a table and they play a card game?
They have actually developed one. I don't think it's actually been marketed yet.
Okay, so it wasn't a real game to start with, no. Well, they should. I mean, the market's there. The markets are ripe for the plucking.
Yeah.
I think it's getting like ever more towards that mark of it being not, I wouldn't say popular, but accepted, I think, would be the word. I mean, you look at shows like Game of Thrones and Vikings, movies like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, all of these kind of fantasy things, World of Warcraft. I mean, that's a massive multiplayer online game that was turned into a movie. Angry Birds is a cell phone game that was turned into a movie. And it's getting to the point where movies are being controlled by these things like comic books. I mean, you look at the Marvel Universe on screen, it's massive. It's Disney's second biggest IP behind Star Wars. And it's incredible. It's pulling massive traction, and it's making the geekdom, or at least the comic aspect of that, more accepted worldwide.
So the entire subculture has changed, is what you're saying. That now the geek culture is driving the mainstream, whereas in the 80s and in the 90s it was probably a little different.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, these things have become so popular that their entire industry is all on their own.
What's amazing to see with the franchise releases of the Marvel movies, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, The Incredible Hulk, that has just stimulated a whole new generation into old characters and just breathed new life into them. And with a company like Disney behind that, has really, and they know how to hit these markets, especially aiming it at kids, that has really grown this industry and developed a whole new level of interest. So being a geek, as we discussed earlier, is not just a closeted thing. It's geeks are kids now. You see kids running around wearing Batman, Superman, Iron Man, like Hulk clothing.
Not even kids. We're talking like old men.
Yes. So
we were all kids sometimes.
Yes.
About 30.
Yeah.
Pokemon's just come back. I mean,
yeah, this Pokemon Go is going crazy.
Absolutely mad.
I mean, what you mentioned has overtaken Twitter, in two days.
Not just yet, but I mean, can we talk about that for a second? It's been out. Pokemon Go. It's not even available legally in all the countries in that. I mean, sure, there are ways to get it. But, you know, in the countries that it is legal in, it's about to overtake Twitter in users. How crazy is that? And this has got all the same recipe as the Marvel stuff, as the Star Wars stuff. It's nostalgia. So it's getting the kids into it, you know, from a new perspective, who have never picked up this kind of stuff, who weren't interested in this stuff, being 2000s babies. And then it's getting the people who are already interested during the 80s and 90s and pulling them back into it. So it's like this approach from two sides that's making it ever more popular.
It was late 90s, Greg.
Late 90s. Yeah,
there was no Pokemon in the 80s, was there?
Early 90s, yeah.
I was talking more about Game Boy. Star Wars in that.
So I had it on Game Boy.
99-2000 was when the cards came out.
Yeah, I was playing that on Game Boy.
It looks like that, you know, seeing all of you in studio, there's a large percentage of our population that seems to be excluded from all this.
Yeah.
Is that true? I mean, are black people starting to, is this gaining momentum in certain communities?
Definitely.
Yeah. With, how do we get that out there? Yeah.
The kids are watching the anime shows on the SABC channels. I know years ago they had the Pokemon shows, they had the Dragon Ball Z's, Naruto. So the anime shows are introducing them to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have these kids coming to...
Are they still being
me.
Played on SABC, or are they stopping that?
Yeah,
I think they're playing One Piece at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that they're playing these anime shows. So I have these guys coming to me and asking me, do you have this character and this character and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, ooh... Was that English?
The so Marvel it is movies great. Have also helped
yes.
Create more interest in the comic side of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a large number of artists out there that are doing their own comics and everything like that as well.
Is it kind of African style? Is there an African style comic here?
Give
us some ideas if people are listening and they want to go for that market. What is out there? Offhand,
I don't have a list of
them. I know there's one coming that's called Kariba, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah, there's also one, it's called Nuku Mashaku. He's actually fun, it's a comedy. Yeah. So it's actually trending on YouTube.
There's another one
called
Kwezi.
There's about four or five that I know of that have... African contributors and things like
we
that.
We have our own African superhero coming soon. I'm not too sure if they're showing it on
Django.
I'm not too sure if they're showing it on TV yet.
That has been screened.
He's, an African superhero within Joburg, and that looks amazing.
Terrific.
Yeah. We're looking forward to this because it's going to be quite
interesting. African superheroes, not just American.
Certainly, because I know now there's also like black dolls being produced and stuff like that. So next Barbie doll, it's gonna be me.
I think one of the things that's also that's helping geekdom is social media. Everything's becoming a lot quicker and easier to get to, and just the memes that are being spread and everything like that, people are getting more used to geek culture.
The perception has changed dramatically. Our researcher Benji found this for me. In 1983, a woman called Patricia Pulling, her son committed suicide, and she decided that it was because of Dungeons and Dragons, which she describes as a fantasy role-playing game which uses demonology, witchcraft, voodoo, murder, rape, blasphemy, suicide, assassination, insanity, sex, perversion, homosexuality, prostitution, satanic-type rituals, gambling, barbarism, cannibalism, sadism, desecration, demon summoning, necromantics, divination, and other teachings.
I've never had time to do
wasn't that. The Rambo movie like that too?
That sounds like a whole lot like Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Really. Oh. The perception of D&D has changed so much since then, and it is due to social media, I believe. All of those online comic books about geeks, by geeks, has really brought D&D into the real world and explained to people that, no, it's actually just a bunch of guys who sit around the table and roll dice at each other for a little while. And then go home to their perfectly normal wives.
What's interesting with the invention of the internet and with things becoming so much more accessible, it's a lot easier to publish as well now. So up and coming artists are able to put their work out there online for a fraction of the price of sending it through to a printing house and having to print out thousands and thousands of copies in order to kind of cover their costs. So you can create your own comic, digitize it, put it online, and sell it for a fraction of the price, two, put it up for free, and then just gain your exposure. Grant, you'll know better than me with regards to this. We've also got some very well-known local artists and writers that are writing for DC and Marvel, correct?
Yeah. Yes, one of them, Jason Masters, is doing James Bond for Dynamite Comics at the moment.
Yeah.
Another one's just done a couple of covers for Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
It's Warren Lowe.
Yeah.
One of them does Pathfinder comics for the role-playing game and has done artwork for the role-playing game as well. So, yes, we actually have a wealth of talent in this country. It's because of the internet, they can work in South Africa and still contribute to stuff overseas.
Yeah.
I think as in all social arts, South Africa has a lot to offer.
Definitely. We've got a rich, rich culture in terms of creativity. And we're going to start seeing the growth of kind of African storytelling coming through in comics. And I hope to see role-playing sometime. It would be interesting to go with some black culture history lessons, history stories.
Well, rather than dressing up as a medieval knight, we could dress up as an impi warrior.
Yeah,
correct. Let's bring that in.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's make it cool.
Yeah.
Because we can, as the geek community, we can really drive change.
Yeah, most certainly. And in terms of our animation as well, we've got a lot coming through digital animation, through comic book design and creativity, which is amazing to see. And we're getting recognized on the international stage.
We had that comic Kariba that was on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And they raised enough money to do a graphic novel, and I think they're going to be doing a movie as well. And the artwork on that is just beautiful.
The who does that?
I can't remember their names, but the comic book is called Kariba. So it's basically about that monster that lives in Lake Kariba.
Is that part
the
of...
The Nyam Nyami?
Nyam Nyami.
Yeah.
Is that traditional or is that made up?
No, it's traditional. They believe in Lake Victoria, I think it is, that there's this creature called the Nyam Nyami.
A bit like the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. So they created this whole story with the daughter of that monster. And it looks amazing. The artwork is just gorgeous.
Sorry, we're nearly running out of time, so you better fire your last, or we give Peter Van Dijk, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Peter, you want to say a few things before we close up, because we're kind of running out of time.
Thanks so much, Gary. On our side, we're just people like you and me. That's the way that I see it. As Saul mentions, we go out, we do our thing, we pay attention to our hobbies, and we then go home and spend time with our perfectly normal families.
Do you have a wife?
I do.
Is she part of this subculture, or is she?
She is certainly part of the subculture. She's more of a dog person, so she does dog agility and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So a slightly different angle of geekdom, but she certainly is extremely passionate about her hobbies. Mm. And that
What's
as we mentioned,
let's give her a mention.
Her name is Bronwyn. Bronwyn Pritz Van Dijk. She's actually literally just two blocks down the road where she works at the vet.
Okay. Is this for you, as an outsider, kind of strange for me, is this very much your life? Is this what you live and die for, kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure many of the listeners out there can appreciate the fact that there are hundreds and thousands of hobbies out there, and everybody has their own passions for their hobbies. I mean, it could be cars, it could be comics, it could be dressing up as strange fairy fox things. But everybody has their own passions, and everybody is willing to invest their time and their money and their effort in it. And that makes us just like the other people that you see strolling down the road or sitting next to you at the desk that you're working at. I love to think that our hobbies are very inclusive. They're very social. It's a way to get you out from behind your monitor where you spend your whole life. And I think that it's a situation where, God willing, it's going to grow and it's going to keep on growing.
Give us your website again and all your details so we can look you up.
Yeah. Sure thing. As mentioned, I run a gaming club called the 3 Plus Gaming Club, which is based in Northcliffe in Joburg. We are on Facebook on 3 Plus. If you look it up, it's the words 3
can
Plus
with
no spaces.
Up? What do I need? Do I need to bring anything? Or can
absolutely
I,
not.
Can we, I roll up and you'll introduce me to everything? And
absolutely. On our side, we have everything that's involved. We play out of the Roosevelt Park Bowls Club, which is just on the corner of Bayes Nordia Drive. Show up on a Wednesday evening or on a Saturday. And there'll be people there who
Excellent.
Will very happily help
it's
you out.
It's a great idea, isn't it? So
it is, absolutely.
Could, yeah,
cool. And 3 Plus runs an event every year towards the end of the year called Into the Fray, which is a tabletop board gaming tournament, correct?
Indeed. Into the Fray has been around for about 15 years now in varying shapes and forms. It's a tabletop gaming system where everybody can come and play their games, perhaps competitively, perhaps not. We usually run it near the end of the year. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. In a given year, we probably I would say last year we probably saw in the region of about 100 players. But beyond that, it is still growing, absolutely.
Great. Let's bring in Greg Walker, isn't it, of Warzone Gaming Club. Greg, you've got a minute or so to sum up and tell us what you offer for newies as well.
Right, basically, so we are Warzone Gaming Club. You can find us at JP Quantum. You know, that's the JP School Field Grounds in Bedford View. And we play on a Wednesday night. We get there around about 6 or so and runs till about midnight. And then we play on Saturday mornings as well, from about 9 to about 2, 3-ish. And really, guys, just rock up. Just come say hello, see what's going on, see if you're interested. It really is that simple.
Good. To our comics man, yeah, give your name and your website and everything about what we can get.
Well, my name's Grant Charlton. I own Outer Limits, Outer Limits Melville, that is. We have a Facebook page, which is Outer Limits, Melville. Our website is outerlimits.co.za. And we sort of stock everything you need to be a geek, basically.
Can we get this online as well, or do we have to come into the...
We do mail order. We don't actually have an online store because I would like people to come into the store so you can actually engage with them and talk to them about their hobby.
Cool. Excellent. And then to Richard and Kasha.
Yeah.
Talk to us. Yeah.
So we're from the Dark Carnival, the online geek store. We are online. We're solely online. Mm. But we do have a presence inside Look and Listen as well, inside the Heel Fox shop. We've got a Dark Carnival pop-up store there. So if you want to go into a retail environment, you can go there or just visit darkcarnival.co.za. You can also visit us on Facebook. Just search for The Dark Carnival. We're also on Twitter at Dark Carnival ZA. And just follow us and check us out.
And then on GeekFest as well.
Oh, yes. And then we've got geekfest.co.za. You can get all the information about upcoming events. You can follow us on Twitter at GeekFestSA, as well as on Facebook, GeekFest South Africa.
Good. And then lastly, to great lawyer, Saul Smith. He really is a very accomplished young lawyer to be. You're just doing your candidacy. Saul, you're also very... into this culture, and it's been great. The show's been outstanding, and thanks to your production and research, well done.
Thanks, Gary. It was a pleasure. I'm just glad I could bring this to the public at large.
Good. If you have anything you'd like to come forward with and share with our listeners, please contact us. Email address or my Twitter handle at Hertzlaw, HERTZLAW, and you can get us. Where's Lionel gone on the line? Thank you very much as well. The law@cliffcentral.com is the email address. Did you learn much?
I did. It was very fascinating.
Do you mind dressing up? I don't know what you're going to dress up as, Lionel. You just tell
yeah,
us.
Well, you know, I can't do that next week. It depends if you'll be able to handle me, because I know I'm going to be.
Will you hook him up with something?
Yeah,
something
Wookie outfit.
Cute but it must be
kinky. Can you make the sound? No, Richard can make the sound.
It must be very kinky.
I love that. We can actually say and do what we like here. It's a fantastic platform. Many thanks to Gareth Cliff and Rena Broomberg. They are the owners, and they enable us to put these shows together.
Certainly.
It's all available on podcast, so please get it on your app and listen in your cars or wherever you like.
Many offices. Thanks. I'm and Gary. It's very easy. It's very easy to download, by the way.
Good.
Yeah.
On that note, many thanks. And until next Tuesday at 12 noon, I'm Gary Hertzberg.
Au revoir. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. Whatever you want, so very special. I wish I was special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
magnificent. The revolution. I've got something important.